We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Can you guys believe that it is October the 3rd? It's just time. Yeah, a couple of you. Some of you are like, shut up. It's too early to be talking that nonsense. Well, there's really one fruit left that we're going to talk about, and that'll be next month. The next several Wednesdays are planned out. In fact, the whole rest of the year is completely planned out. But as far as this series is concerned, I'm going to do faithfulness, and then we'll have one final fruit, and that'll be the first Wednesday in November. The rest of the Wednesdays are filled with guest speakers and various things we're doing. And so we're going to wrap this series up in November, and then I'll be launching into a new series in January, and I have no idea what it will be. I don't know if you have ever had the unpleasant experience of having chipped your tooth or an infected tooth, but if you have, some of you are feeling your teeth right now. I saw you. If you have, you know the pain that comes from this. Several years ago, I had all four of my impacted wisdom teeth removed. All four. One of them was the size of my thumb. He had to break them to get it out. It's kind of gross, so I'm not going to tell you anymore. But I woke up and was in a great deal of it. Poked the gum, and the whole right side of my face got infected. And it was rather disgusting, and it took me a while. Every time I would go to eat something, I would be really, really tentative before I would chew to make sure. And Angela offered baby food, but I just couldn't bring myself to do that. Perhaps you've had a broken bone in your foot. My wife recently struggled with this, or rolled your ankle, or maybe did something more severe like myself several years ago. Now, a while ago, I tore my Achilles tendon while playing football. I knew at that point it was time for me to hang my cleats up, but the pain was horrible. But to me, the worst pain was afterward, the tenderness, and I was in a cast, and then I was in a boot, and then I was in a paintball tournament, and I re-injured it again, and I had to go to physical therapy, and I cried like a girl on the table while this lady was working out these knots, and I was just ripping the stuffing out of the side of the table, and every time I went to walk, and there was a season where I felt for about a month, every time I wanted to go run, I just had no strength in it, and I thought, I'm never going to run again. And you might be thinking, well, what does a chipped tooth and a broken bone and a rolled, you know, ankle have to do with faithfulness? Well, nothing unless your trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. The Bible gives us a very vivid picture of what unfaithfulness not only looks like, but what it feels like. And if you haven't chipped a tooth or had an infection or broke a bone, I think most of you understand that it's unpleasant and it's painful. And it hurts. And it doesn't just hurt you. As this statement is for us tonight, being unfaithful always causes hurt and pain to yourself and to those around you. You never sin alone. Did you hear what I just said? Your sin always affects somebody else. You never sin in a closet. It's always going to affect somebody else. There is a knock-on effect. Sin is painful. Sin is its own scourge. You know, I've said often, choose to sin. Can you finish it? Choose to suffer. And when we talk about faith and we talk about being faithful, the two go together. But as with all the fruit that we've looked at, it's both, and here's the two words. You might want to write these down tonight. It's always these two, and this is what we've been talking about. It's these two words. It's attitude and it's action. It's always, they're always running on the same track. Attitude and action. It's belief and behavior. They run together. Having faith, then, and being faithful are connected. And if you really have faith, it comes out as faithfulness. Now, let me just quickly just say this. It's very important. The sanctification process, God changing you and growing you and the Spirit producing fruit in you, and I hope you might say amen to this, but the sanctification process looks different for everybody. We all grow at a different rate. No two people grow at the same rate. And faithfulness is something that is proved over a long time. Please, please, please don't sit in judgment of someone's faith because they're not as faithful as you are. Or they're not as faithful as you think they should be. I would remind all of us tonight that we are not the standard. Amen. We are not the standard. How would your faithfulness look if we compared it to the faithfulness of the Apostle Paul? Somebody might even question your salvation, wouldn't they? Okay. Look, we are not called to compare or cast judgment. We are called to be faithful. Remember that. We're not called to do that. We're called to be faithful. It's required for us to be faithful. And now, to be unfaithful is a sin, but it does not necessarily reflect the condition of someone's salvation. Many a saved sinner has struggled with faithfulness. Anybody in that category? People in the Bible struggled. Moses and Abraham, godly men, both faithful. Numbers 1:27 gives them this title, and Galatians 3:7. But both men at times acted in ways that we might say were unfaithful. Not only the pastoral staff, every year we try to get away for a couple of days and we try to plan out the next year. This last trip we took recently, we spent two very long 14-plus hour days together and sort of locked ourselves away, and we planned all the way through into 2020, 6 months into 2020, and did some vision casting and just shared some of the things on our heart. And one of the challenges that I brought to the men that day as we were there together was I took us to our job description, which is found in Timothy and Titus, and I said, guys, it's important for us to read this and grade ourselves and see how we're doing on all of these things. And sometimes as a pastor or an elder or even a deacon, you read this and you look at this and you think, well, I can't stack up to that. I can't do that. And sometimes we look and we think, well, you have to be perfect. Well, I have a newsflash for you. None of your pastors are perfect. Thank you for not shouting amen and saying, I know that's right. I know that's right right there. The call is to be an example. We're to be the example, to show a pattern of faithfulness. And the whole idea of faithfulness rests on three things. I'm going to give them to you very quickly, all right? So here we go. Number one, the faithfulness of God's character to us. The faithfulness of God's character to us, all right? Number two, the Spirit's work producing faithfulness in us. And then number three, the ever-increasing pattern of faithfulness in a person's life. So these are the three bedrock, if you will, foundational elements of faithfulness. The faithfulness of God's character to us, the Spirit's work producing faithfulness in us and then through us, and number three, the ever-increasing pattern of faithfulness in a person's life. Now, I've just basically given you the main points of the sermon, all right? And when you talk about faithfulness, and when you think about faithfulness, we're going to make some personal application, but before we do, I want to take us to a passage in the Scriptures that I think is a great summation of God's faithfulness. It's found in Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. Jeremiah, often called the weeping prophet, wrote the book of Lamentations, which is his lament over Israel. And at a time when Israel had just gone south and sideways and he saw everything that was happening, he was just weeping and crying and sobbing. And here's what he says. Read it with me. It's on the screen. Ready? This I recall to mind, therefore have I... Isn't that wonderful? I love what the song said. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. I have hope. Why? Because it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are. This sets the stage for faithfulness. And that's why, number one, I want to talk about faithfulness defined. How do we define faithfulness? What does it look like? How do we define this? Now, the overarching passage here is God's faithfulness to us. So the danger is that if we look at the fruit of the Spirit through our own personal bent or our own lens, we can make the fruit something that it's not or more than it is. And in so doing, we end up making the fruit a law, which is why, by the way, isn't it what Paul said at the end? Against such there is no law. Paul says, I'm not going to write in a law into this. This is what the Spirit produces in you. Note this tonight, that spiritual fruit is never produced through keeping laws and rules, but through loving Jesus and being obedient to the Spirit. This is how fruit is produced. You can't lay down and do a bunch of things and say, oh, I'm going to produce fruit by doing this. No, the Spirit does this in you as you submit to Him. Now, I've talked a lot through this series about fake fruit. I gave a couple illustrations, how I bit into a wax apple one time, and that was a pleasant experience. And over many years of being a pastor and a Christian, I have also seen what I call fake faithfulness. Fake faithfulness. And my fear tonight, and anytime I preach the word, but my fear tonight is that some of us may find ourselves here to appear faithful, but the internal faith is disconnected and dead. They've gone the way of religion. They've gone the way of keeping up an appearance. A wise old preacher said this, you can never tell how much gas is in the tank by how loud the horn is blown. Think about that. What is he saying? He's saying a car that's sitting on fumes and a car that's got a full tank of gas, the horn is equally as loud. You don't know how much fuel is in the tank until when? The car starts to go. You can't tell how much gas is in that car until there's movement and action. You can't look at the wax job, how clean it is, how nice it looks, how pristine. You can't tell. Can't tell by the brand. Can't tell if it's a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist. You know, you don't know. You can't tell by that. Anyone can toot their horn and look faithful for a while. Anybody can. I love what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, what? Who can find? What the scriptures are saying here, very clearly, listen carefully, it's hard to find faithful people. 25 plus years of ministry has revealed that to me. It's really hard to find faithful people. It's help, Lord, because the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. We're living in a day and age where words like faithful and men don't go well together. They don't sound right in the same sentence. This is not a new problem. It's an age-old problem that I think has gotten worse. Understand something, that faithfulness can never be measured on a short-term moment, but on a long-term pattern. Because anybody can do anything well for a little while. Anybody. As believers, being faithful is never a matter of if we can. It's why you always hear me say faithfulness is the one thing we can do. We can be faithful. The question is, will we and are we being faithful? We can be faithful because the Spirit enables us and empowers us to do so. Naturally, the tendency is we don't want to. Not unless it benefits us and we think it's all about the rules. And so what are we going to get out of it? And it's hard to be faithful for the long haul. This is why it's a work of the Spirit. Because we can all fake faithfulness, but the reality of Spirit-produced faithfulness is not momentary. It's long-term, and it's something that we must have the Spirit's help with. Hands up if you've ever struggled being faithful. Yes, we struggle inside sometimes. He said, well done, thou good and... These words were used by Jesus in this well-known parable. The emphasis here is on the kind of servant, good and faithful. So let's get a working definition for tonight. A working definition. Faithfulness is someone who is trustworthy, dependable, and honest, having proved this over a long period of time. This is the pattern of their life. This is why you can't put someone into the ministry as a novice, the Bible says. They need to have proven themselves as a leader, a deacon, an elder, a pastor. They need time to show that there's been an established pattern of consistent faithfulness. And this is what a faithful person is. They are faithful. They have a proven track record. They have integrity. You're not worried if a faithful person is going to lie to you. You're not worried if they're going to deceive you. You know, to be deceitful is not necessarily to tell you an outright lie, but to withhold some of the truth from you. A faithful person does what they promise. They've proven this for the long haul. They are routinely dependable. You don't have to wonder what they're going to do. Write this down. In essence, they're predictable. It's predictable faithfulness, much like Daniel, predictable holiness. The reason they could nail Daniel to the wall is because he was predictable. that about him? Do you know that your neighbors know what you're doing on Sundays? You're predictable. If you're faithful to church, they know these things. Your children know. They know. Now, some people are predictable for other reasons. You can always count on that person to be late. Amen, somebody? You know who you are. Oh, hey, brother. To complain. No one in here, of course. To be a no-show. You can always count on that one person to have an issue with something. Doesn't matter. You know, it's Johnny Raincloud. It's like, oh, let's do it. I don't think we should. You just know that's how they are. You know that's how they're going to be. To get an attitude about something. You know this. Faithful people are predictably faithful. Note this. Even in difficult circumstances and challenging times, faithful people stay faithful. This is what they do. And tonight I'm speaking to a group of very faithful people. Your faithfulness is an encouragement to me. And it reminds us again, doesn't it? Not consumed, because its compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy what? Faithfulness. So we've defined it, for the most part, as best we can for this word. But I want us now to look at the second thing, which is faithfulness displayed. How do we see this? When you think about what the Bible says about God, perhaps the most common trait is that of faithfulness. Of all of the attributes and things and characteristics of God, for me personally, his faithfulness is my favorite. That God is so faithful. Because here's the truth. I've been very unfaithful to him. Anybody else in that boat? Okay. So faithfulness displayed, notice, in the character of God. In his character. Now, I'm going to give us several passages tonight. You can jot these down. They're going to come onto the screen. I'm going to roll through some of them quickly. Others I'll stop and expound on a little bit. Psalm 119:90 says, thy faithfulness is unto what? All generations. Unto how many generations? All thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Isaiah 25, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are what? Faithfulness and truth. When you look at the whole history of Israel, it is a storyline of God's faithfulness to them. How he loved them, how he cared for them, how he protected them faithfully. God always kept his promises to his people. Did you know that? By the way, he's still doing that today. Even when they were grumbling, even when they were disobedient, God was faithful. When they were suffering the consequences of their sin, he was faithful. God is faithful. And we saw his greatest act of faithfulness displayed through the fulfilling of his promise in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love what 1 Corinthians 1:9 says. God is, say it with me, faithful. God is faithful. Do you believe that tonight? By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you who what? Do you know what I love about this verse? Felt like a big fat failure? Like you've just completely blown it. And you're like, I can't believe I'm here again. I can't believe this has happened. I love this verse because it says, he will do it. He will do it. You see, God's proven faithfulness is what we look to as we seek to set a pattern of faithfulness in our own life. This is where we look. We seek him. We look to him. Now, the thing is, Faithfulness to God is not about making you look like a good Christian. It's all about having your holy living point people to a faithful God. You're not faithful for other people to admire you. That might be the byproduct, but to admire the God who is faithful to you. Our goal in following Christ and being faithful is so that people will be drawn to the God who's always faithful. That's why we don't want people, quote, following us, but following us as we follow Christ, patterning our life after the Lord. And in the history of Israel and his faithfulness to all generations, but notice through the conduct of God's people. This is interesting. Because yes, we say God is faithful, and yes, we see God's character and faithfulness. Would we all agree to that? But shouldn't there be a reflection of the faithfulness of God in how we live our life, church? The pattern that we establish. God's faithfulness has been revealed to all generations. The challenge now is for us to live and be faithful. And the Spirit of God helps us in this. And in fact, if we don't have the Spirit producing this in us, we eventually run flat. Notice tonight that our conduct reveals the character of Christ dwelling in us. How you live, how you act, the things that you do, it reveals who is in you. You see, faithfulness is not just a season. It is wholehearted commitment. It is more than a season. Faithfulness should be the very story of your life. It should be the very song of your life. Faithfulness is born out of a love and devotion to Christ, and this, all in commitment and dedication, is how we act and interact with others. It's a revealing of not just what, who's living in you? Who's producing that faithfulness? Who's doing that? The scripture says that we are to be filled with the Spirit. It's fascinating to think about it. It's a lifelong puzzle for me as I've thought it and prayed it and read it and studied it and have books on it and have preached it, and it always fascinates me. In fact, this last year I read a book on, it was a brand new book that was released by a great author on the Spirit's filling, and I was so convicted by it because I thought to myself, how much of my life have I actually been living in the flesh and not being filled with the Spirit? Now, don't raise your hand and don't respond externally. But at any point today, did you say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit? At any moment today, throughout your day, did you say, Lord, please fill me with your Spirit? If you didn't do that, what a shame. What a shame. You've missed out. I say this to you as brothers and sisters and as a man myself, realizing how much of that filling I've missed. We're told, have you ever had a flood happen in your home? Ever had something? Have you noticed how water gets everywhere? Have you ever noticed that? It just seems to find its way. You're like, how'd that happen? Get in there. That same thought of being flooded is what's being communicated to us through the Word. That when you're filled, you're literally flooded with the Spirit. And when that happens, see, suddenly it changes how you talk, it changes how you think, it changes how you interact, it changes how you live your life, the choices you make, everything that you do. Because now, like water, it's kind of gotten everywhere, hasn't it? We could say it this way, it's all over you. To be filled again and again. Now, have you ever had moments in your life where you just felt like, I'm not very filled with the Spirit today? Anybody? All the more to seek it, all the more to pray it, all the more to ask it. You see, faithfulness is all-encompassing. It's all-encompassing. Faithfulness is more than going to church and not doing bad stuff. Some of us, that's what you've boiled your life down to. It's always, I love it when couples will come in and they'll say to me, it's usually the man, I don't know what her problem is. I work, I provide, I don't beat her, I don't run around on her. I'm like, bro, you're supposed to do those things. Like, do you want me to pat you on the back for doing the stuff you're supposed to do? You shouldn't be proud of that. That's nothing to brag about. That's the basics. That's like saying, I woke up today, I tell you what, great. I didn't beat my wife today. We're like, I go to church, man. Okay. I don't do bad things. Compared to who and what? What is bad? What is that? I don't know. You could get 10 Christians in a room and get 12 opinions. I mean, I'm telling you, that's bad and that's bad. You shouldn't do that and you should do that. I can't believe you're upset about that. You shouldn't have an issue with that. And I have an issue with that. And my mom had to do it. I mean, you're like, what? We can't define our life by a few things. You know, when I was growing up, you don't cuss and drink and smoke and chew and run with those that do, right? That was the stand. If you're doing that, man, you was living high on the spirit. But I found that you could do those things and not even be saved. I find some people who don't know the do is higher. Well, so you can't just judge your faithfulness on not doing bad stuff in church. It's a life that's built around faithfulness in every area. Faithful to live out the calling on your life. Faithful to God's mission, which is what we're talking about this whole month. Faithful in the things that we commit to. Faithful to keep ourselves away from the things that we know are sinful. Faithful. Listen to the words of Paul as he was nearing the time of his death. He said, for the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There was an old hymn that I used to sing when we were growing up in England, in a little Flint building. I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. I didn't know what I was singing back then. I really didn't. But I know what it means now. I'm persuaded. And that's the question tonight. Are you persuaded? See, the ultimate question of faithfulness, are you listening? We're done in just a few minutes. The ultimate question of faithfulness comes down to not only what you live. I think this helps us understand why Paul wrote these verses right before he was beheaded by Nero and his body fed the dogs. He said this to Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. You know what he said? I was faithful. He wasn't bragging. He was saying, I kept my faith. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give me at that day. And not just to me, I like this, but unto all them that also love his appearing. So, write this down, would you? Faithfulness means knowing what you really believe, who you truly love, and what you're ultimately committed to. What do you really believe? Who do you truly love? And what are you ultimately committed to? Now, sometimes the story of faithfulness is a struggle. And I will be the first to confess to you that many times we want to be faithful, but sometimes we end up feeling more like a failure. In fact, we seem to be more faithful at failing than we are at being faithful. Anybody with me on that? You're like, I'm a faithful failure. Joint. We don't feel like we're helping. We feel like we're hurting. And we can get discouraged. And so what I've done tonight is I've given us, hopefully, some things that you can take very practically and apply these to your life. I've called them steps to increasing your faithfulness. And there's just five of them. and then we'll be through. Okay. Steps to increasing your faithfulness. All for increasing our faithfulness. Amen?
Amen.
Number one, this is the big one. You don't get this one, you don't get the rest. You got to work on this one first, okay? The rest fall underneath this, so get this one down. Surrender to the Spirit. Get that one down. Work on that. Surrender, okay? We're told to be filled. We're told to yield. His conviction, I think many believers might say that they're not resisting the Spirit, but they're also not assisting him either. You say, well, I'm not resisting. Yes, but you're not assisting either. You're just there. You're sort of in neutral. You're sort of coasting. You have to surrender and say, yes, okay, Lord, I'm going to give in to what it is that you have for me. When the conviction comes and the conscience is squeezed and you know that something needs to change, you know you need to say the words, you know you need to have the conversation, you know you're giving, you need to be faithful in serving, God's squeezing you to do something. That's the point of surrender right there. Don't resist that. Don't resist that. That's where you're going to get yourself in trouble. A friend of mine who was a pastor and made some very horrible decisions and decided that he would be unfaithful to his wife. After it was all over and out and he had resigned, I met him for coffee. He had been seeing a counselor and I said, I have one question for you. I said, when did you start growing numb to the conviction of the Holy Spirit? I'll never forget, he slid his coffee cup toward me. He said, who told you to ask me that? I said, nobody. I said, but if you'll go back to that place, if you'll figure that out, you'll be able to start walking in the Spirit again. Because you got comfortable resisting the conviction of God in your life. You got comfortable. And pretty soon, which was this once, and it's okay, to justification, to a total quenching and grieving of the Spirit. And what you once thought you would never, ever, ever do, you did. And you have to go back to that tender moment when you said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want. See, if you can resist the Spirit on little things like your giving, and you know you should be giving, or serving in the church, or being kind to your spouse, or being loving to some, you start resisting him on that, you just build up a tolerance, don't you? And pretty soon you're quenching the Spirit in your life. And that's why this one's so important. Number two, study the Scriptures. Study the Word of God. Become a person saturated in the Scripture. Saturate yourself. Immerse yourself. Deepen your knowledge with a desire to obey what you're learning, not just leading to academic depth, but holy action. I'm studying for a reason, not to say I know that. One of the most annoying things as a pastor is when you try to talk to someone and they go, yeah, I know that. I'm like, then why are we talking? Amen. If you know this, it's not what you know, it's what you live out. So you don't study the Scriptures to get a big head, because Paul says knowledge to help me surrender to the Spirit. All right, number three. Structure your life around living for God's glory. Structure everything you're doing around living for God's glory. This will help you narrow decisions down. This will help you determine a course in life. It makes things so much simpler. I had a conversation not too long ago, and we were talking about something. I said, you know, I just don't think that's the best decision. Why? I said, I just don't know that it's going to bring God glory, to be honest with you. Well, that's kind of a killjoy. Maybe for you. But I know what it is when I don't bring God glory and I steal his glory and I make it about me, and it's very unpleasant. All right, number four. Got to get you guys out of here. Seek out spiritual mentors who can help you grow. Now, this may be initially in the form of a book. There was a season in my life where I really didn't have a man or men speaking into my life, helping me, guiding me as a mentor per se. And so I found them in books. I'd be reading a book and somebody would mention a guy and I'd go, who's that guy? And I'd read that guy. I'm like, man, that's great. I'll read his stuff. And don't be narrow-minded. If you're just reading after one author, that's pathetic. Find some men or women who can help you through direct contact with an older, more seasoned saint, someone further down the road. I wish I had time to talk a little bit about how biblically in the scriptures, the older should be teaching the younger, but it seems that the older don't want to do that and the younger don't want to listen. Amen. But the Bible says that. We're to submit to their guidance and counsel. 2 Timothy says, "And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." And what are they going to do? This is the pattern of discipleship. This is the pattern of growth. Number 5, surround yourself with other faithful people. This is the anchor. Surround yourself with other faithful people. People are going the same direction. Listen, do you know that you can be friends with people that you're not always going to see eye to eye with? Oh! It'll be all right. You might be a Democrat and they might be a Republican. Might happen. They might be a Presbyterian and you might be a Baptist. You know, when you read Paul's letters at the end, he's often mentioning faithful men and women who served alongside him. And one of the reasons Paul was so successful was because of the people who served with him. And I want to say that here in our church, there are some faithful men who serve alongside me. There are some faithful pastors who serve with me. There are some faithful deacons. We were here last night at a deacon's meeting until almost 10 o'clock at night, thinking about the church and praying about the church and looking at things pertaining to the church, and all of these men having a heart and serving and doing things behind the scenes and helping and making sure things are done right and looking over things. Faithful men who love the Lord and love this church and love you and love me. My whole life, I've been very blessed to have faithful friends, just men and women in ministry and outside of ministry who are just faithful. I will tell you from experience, if you don't have that, life is lonely. Amen. Life is hard. Life is a struggle. You need faithful men and women in your life. There's some senior saints who are here tonight who are that's what I want to do. I want to be faithful. We need faithful people. You see, as I close, the pattern of Christianity is faithful people following a faithful God, encouraging others to remain faithful. That's the pattern. Faithful people following a faithful God, encouraging others to what? Remain faithful. Because don't we all need that? Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.